over and give herself to him fully. Show him the unrelenting ugly. Show him how he was the first real beauty she'd had in her life. Show him how Carlo was a prankster, a pain in her ass, a part of her life who could disappear, but even so, he'd always be there when she needed him. Show him that Arius was the first person she'd ever truly trusted. Show him that he had already hit her sketchpads, and he was going to be the second. Show him everything. He'd be able to handle it. She was not a mighty Goliath capable of facing everything, not once sustaining a scar. He was. And in superhero land, there are two ways that could go. He was either the hero's source of strength, the calm in the storm, the safe haven that was always there to return to, or he was her mortal weakness. The being, the cyclone of evil out there, was always threatening to destroy. The being she loved the most. And no matter how strong he was, he would be lost to it. And when he was, it would break her. And that would be a wound that would never heal. So she'd have to keep him safe. And to do that, she had to stay away from him, lose him, sacrifice their love, so he could go on without her to live the life he deserved. Simone, he called, his voice sharp with worry, his body angling down to sit on the lounge at her feet. He wrapped a strong hand with his long, elegant fingers around her ankle and ordered, "Talk to me." "Tell him, tell him, tell him," her mind screamed. She turned her gaze to the pool. "I'm just trying to get used to it," she said.
"Used to what?" he asked.
"Just everything." "Coward," her mind sneered.
"Give me an example of everything," Stellan demanded.
"We watched movies all day, me in my underwear, you in what amounts to pajamas," she explained.
"And?" he pressed.
"I've never done that." She looked from the pool to him. "I've never had that brand of awesome."
"So you're sitting out here looking lost and alone, reflecting about a day you thoroughly enjoyed?"
he asked, like he wanted confirmation that she was as insane as she sounded. "Baby," she said quietly, "you signed on for the mess. You're not allowed to question it."
"Sorry, darling. I absolutely signed on, but that was not a caveat."
He was right. It was not. Wishful thinking never worked for her either. "This has been a great day," she declared.
"And so you're by my pool brooding."
Her back went straight. "Men brood, women ponder." His lips twitched and he amended.
"And so you're by my pool pondering."
"Yes, pondering how a day can be this perfect, and you can be this annoying because you've given me a perfect day." He burst out laughing. She loved the look, the sound, everything. But she glared at him. Still chuckling, he stated,
"So you're not out here pondering. You're out here thinking about how dead set you were against this deal we have. And it hasn't been a full week, but you like it here. You like being with me. You're happy. So now you know how very wrong you were, and this means you're pouting."
"Don't gloat, handsome. It's unbecoming," Six retorted. He continued chuckling as his hand slid up the inside of her calf and he leaned toward her, this taking all her attention.
"Would you like to sit out here continuing to ponder about how I was very right regarding how spectacular we are together?" he asked in a silken drawl. "Thus how you were very wrong, and how much more spectacular we're going to be after I play with you tomorrow, something you know, because you can't even take my hand on your calf without giving everything away. Doing all this while I go in and cook more pastas so we can eat?
It's your self-appointed role to give me everything I might desire. And you've done a bang-up job so far,
so no sense stopping. Therefore, yes. As it's been 2 full hours since we ate up all Margarita's fabulous homemade salsa with those chips, food would be good, she returned, making him continue to laugh softly, which was her intention entirely. Stellan slid his hand down the inside of her thigh and she shivered, which didn't make him stop laughing, but the sound of it turned to something far more affecting. Ponder all you want, darling. I'll be inside boiling pasta and waiting, he purred. Stop turning me on when you're not going to let me come when we start getting it on, she shot back. Oh, he murmured, his fingers gliding in a there-and-gone touch against the gusset of her panties, that she knew he didn't miss were soaked with her wet, and probably didn't miss his nearly imperceptible touch made them wetter. I advise you to get used to that, Simone. But I have a feeling you'll not learn to like it. You'll learn to love it because you like it very much already. Tease, she snapped somewhat breathlessly. Temptress, he whispered in return. Before he could go on any longer, he bent in and kissed her knee before he squeezed the inside of her thigh affectionately and straightened from the lounge. Come in when you're ready, he murmured, giving her a tender, loving smile before he sauntered away with his confident swagger in those lounge pants that at just a glance made her wet. He gives you everything and you give nothing, her mind pointed out. How are you going to keep him if you take and don't give? That's the point precisely, she muttered to the door Stellan entered, watching through the windows as he moved to the kitchen. So it's better to have loved and lost than not to have loved at all? It was a scoff. No, she looked back to the pool. It's better to give the little I can give before he gets too deep. And then get the fuck out of his life so we can find someone who deserves to have him. You're a fool. I'm a hero, she told the mellow rotation of tranquil colors of the pool. We'll do anything, sacrifice it all to protect the ones we love. Her inner tormentor had nothing to say to that. Then again, she knew all too well. That was just plain true. Six liked taking Stellan like this best of all. On her belly, her legs spread wide, his cock driving deep, his body covering hers, his face in her neck, his arms around her, fingers touching her, teasing her, driving her crazy. Second best was missionary, or riding him with him sitting up. It was vanilla, but she didn't care. She liked face to face, getting to watch him, seeing how much he got off on watching her. She liked how she was taking him now, more though. She could feel his power better like this, his chest pressed to her back, his hips pounding into her ass, his cock thrusting deep, his breath rough on her skin, his warmth everywhere. She was his like this. Hers only to offer, but his to take, to use, to give only what he wished, and have anything he wanted. She was not allowed to come. He told her that when they started, and he was pushing her, testing her, training her in a way she knew that when they got down to serious playing, her endurance had to be at a point she could take whatever he wished to give. So that night she'd already held it through him eating her, spending so much time on her nipples it was beautiful torture, and now this. Having him, his cock, his power, knowing she'd also get his cum, having to hold on to control that felt constantly like it was slipping, heavily greased with the need he'd build, made it straight up painful not to be able to let go. Not only from all he'd done, but mostly because he was going to go over the edge and she'd feel it, hear it, have his seed deep inside her, and she couldn't go with him. It was astounding. And it wasn't even play. Not Stellan's kind of play. It was preparation. So tomorrow was going to be insane. Six couldn't wait. With every lover she'd had, it had been about taking. Except with Arius. With Arius, it had been about trust. With Stellan, it was about giving. Giving the only thing she had. So she had to bite her inner lip when she felt and heard him taking himself there, holding her in his arms as he did it, and she had to close her eyes and brace her whole body when she heard him slip over, clutching her close, burying himself as deep as he could get. She had to steel herself even as she listened to him coming down, his breaths steadying, his face stuffed in her neck, his fingers leisurely keeping at their torment. Finally, he pulled out and rolled to his back, but immediately he hauled her on top of him and trapped her in his arms. Six rested her forehead against his throat. She was going to draw this moment in her book, graphically, vividly. Her legs straddling his thigh, his arms tight around her, his cum gliding out of her and onto his skin. Eventually, he drifted a hand down to trail his fingers at her upper ass. "How are you, darling?" he murmured. "How are you?" she asked. "I'm excellent." "Then I'm that, too." His fingers stopped trailing and moved to grip her at her waist. They usually fell asleep like this, unless they'd made love in the morning and were getting up to get ready to face their days. After Stellan had come inside her, she kept him there. Unless she had to, she never wanted to wash him away. So when his grip eased, and he was simply holding her, his chest moving with his steady breaths, moving her, she was lulling to sleep, thinking he was doing the same. When he spoke, "I fear you're not believing in this." Her eyes, which had drifted, closed with oncoming sleep, opened with ready alertness, like in the next instant she'd need to take flight. "How do I get my Simone to believe?" he asked in a tone where it was clear he did not expect her to answer. So she didn't. She lay naked in his arms, against his long, lean, warm, strong, naked body, held by him, feeling him seep out of her, wondering if she'd ever find a way to believe. "You know, life isn't perfect, Simone," he whispered. "It burns in me that you know that all too well. But days like this happen, sweetheart. They're what get us through the days that aren't like this. It's just that you haven't ever experienced that. So you don't understand. It isn't about surviving. It's about living for days just like today." "Can we go to sleep?" she asked. He held her in a way she knew he was, for once, not going to give her what she wanted. But then, he gave her what she wanted. "Of course, honey," he murmured. She snuggled in, cuddling closer. His arms tightened and stayed that way. And Six drifted to sleep, held tight in Stellan's arms, knowing two things. She'd kept her promise to Arius. She'd found some happy. So that was all good. She also knew this would be the memory she'd keep with her, the flashback in the novel of her life that would keep her strong and ready to face anything until she faced the end. Movies and togetherness and pasta and falling asleep in her lover's arms. It would be bittersweet when she went on not having it. But it would serve her to keep on keeping on. Because she'd know in her heart that for one shining moment in her life, she'd been the woman who deserved it. 11. Forever. 6. Six opened her eyes when Stellan slid a finger down her cheek. She lifted her gaze up to him and saw he didn't look sleepy in the slightest. "Prepare for me, darling," he said softly. and she felt the heat hit her chest, between her legs, in her face, everywhere. It was time. Time to play. "Coffee in the bathroom," he went on. "I'll meet you by the pool." He straightened, and her eyes tracked him as he did. But he didn't walk away. He said, "Hurry." That was when he started moving away. She watched him in a new pair of lounge pants and again no shirt take 5 steps. She counted. Then she threw the covers back and dashed into the bathroom. No glossy cream box that day. No. Spread across the vanity counter was a 1-piece black lace number that was panties attached to a V of material just above the pubis that swept up over her breasts and narrowed over the shoulders. Thin straps ran down the back to a bra-like fastening under the shoulder blades that came from a strap just under the breasts at the front. The panties were hipsters, so the beautifully placed ribbons that started where the V came up above the pubis were designed to curve over hips at the waist, highlighting those swells, drawing the eye. At the back, straps started to form on the panties at the sides of the hips and met the straps curving along the waist to attach in a complicated crisscross to a diamond-sized panel of lace that did very little to cover an ass. It was the most feminine, most beautiful wireless teddy cage she'd ever seen, and she could not fucking wait to put it on. On the counter above the sexy teddy was her rose gold choker. Her legs trembled, and with all due haste her hand darted to her toothbrush. She wasted no time preparing for Stellan, even if she went all out with heavy makeup around her eyes and full force adorably fuckable hair. She put no jewelry on other than what Stellan had laid out for her. The choker. And after she finished placing it around her neck and looked in the mirror, she whispered, "Oh, hell." 6, her own damned self, bought Stellan something he could collar her with. God, she'd collared herself for him. Harking back, and she could likely remember every single one she'd seen him with, she'd never seen him collar a slave. Not one. But their first time playing, he wanted her collared. On this thought, honest to God, she nearly orgasmed right there, staring at herself in the mirror, smoky eyes, racy but classy teddy, collar, ready for him. Instead, she took a deep breath to steady herself because she had a feeling she had a variety of challenges waiting for her, and she was not going to let him down. She was going to give him exactly what he wanted, exactly how he wanted it, even if it killed her. She took her empty mug down with her, and as she hit the bottom of the stairs, she saw him in the same seat by the pool, in the same position as he had been the day before, except he didn't have a phone to his ear. But he did have his elbow on the arm of his chair, a cup of coffee held up at his side. She noted there were dishes on the table beside him, a folded napkin, some kind of cutlery like he'd had breakfast. There was also a folded bath towel. My, my, my. Her legs started trembling again. Her determination to have it together took another huge hit, just seeing him there, gazing at the rippling waters of his pool, the water feature was on, drinking coffee, waiting for her. Waiting to play with her. So the time it took her to walk her mug to the sink and then move to the doors, she spent psyching herself up. This was going to be awesome, because it was going to be with Stellan. This was going to be hot, because it was going to come from Stellan. And this was going to mean everything, because she got to take it from Stellan and give it to him. When she made it through the door and he peered over his shoulder that morning, he did not look content and relaxed. His eyes moved the length of her body in a way that made her feel like each step she took, She'd get shorter and shorter as she melted into a puddle of six goo slithering her way toward him. She stopped at his side and looked down at him as he looked up at her. She wanted to kiss him. She actually felt that need drive right up her pussy. She wanted it so much. "The cushion, darling," he murmured, "on that chair. Put it on the deck between my feet and sit there." She watched as he spread his thick thighs and her mouth watered so intensely she had to swallow. She started to move but stopped when his fingers closed around hers. She looked down at him again. "Forget something?" he asked. Did she? Was there something else on the bathroom counter he wanted her to wear that she missed? No, there was nothing. She never missed anything, but she for certain wouldn't miss anything that morning. So was she supposed to ask him if he wanted more coffee? Her two submissive scenes with Arias had occurred in a red room at the Honey. They'd been private, controlled, and contained. There wasn't coffee to get for her dominant. The only kind of service expected was sexual. "Did you want more coffee?" she asked, but it even sounded like a guess. "No, Simone," Stellan answered. "What I want, and what you know I want when I give you a command, is for you to answer appropriately." Top to toe, her body stiffened. He expected her to call him master. Already she saw the differences between him being a dominant sexual partner and actual dom-sub play. She wanted to give him everything. She wanted to make this everything he wanted. But she'd forgotten about that. And Six couldn't do that. She was a mistress. She gave the commands. And she'd been a slave to her early life. She took no commands from any master. Stellan as her everyday Stellan, yes. Stellan dominating her, yes. Stellan as her master? She couldn't do it. Christ, she was falling at the first hurdle. "Can I just call you Stellan?" she whispered.
"Can you just call me Stellan? What?"
he pressed. "I can't do that, baby," she said softly. His fingers around hers tightened before he let her go and said,
"Get the cushion and position as I asked, Simone."
He'd given in, which was somewhat of a relief. But she disappointed him. Already. Which was, oh, so not a relief. It's a word, just a word, in play. This isn't real life, it's fantasy, it's sex, it's trust, it's love, her mind reminded her. Trust. Love. "Shut up," she returned. "You want him to rule you, your body, your heart. You couldn't wait to get down here." Her mind kept at her. "Shut up," she snapped. Stilling her thoughts, Six got the cushion, dropped it to the deck between his spread legs, and then dropped to her hip on it. She looked up at him. "Can I please explain?" she began. She didn't finish because his fingers spanned her jaw, but his thumb pressed on her lips, pushing in, the pad of it digging into the edge of the ridge of her lower teeth.
"Speak when spoken to, Simone," he said.
Well, at least she could do that, especially with his hand holding her jaw and mouth prisoner.
"Lean against my leg,"
he ordered. She could do that too, so she did. He ran the pad of his thumb along the edge of her teeth.
"It's important to me. You call me master," he stated,
removing his thumb but using it to stroke hard across her cheek, pressing the inner flesh into the side of her teeth.
"You may speak."
"Can we start into that slowly?" she asked. He removed his hand and reached to the table. He came back with a cube of watermelon. He touched it to her lips, and when she opened them, he murmured, "No." She didn't know if that was a no to opening her mouth or a no they couldn't start slowly.
but she closed her lips. He slid the cube along them and watched himself doing it, his expression schooled, appearing like he was lost in thought. She let him and tried not to squirm.
"Tongue," he ordered quietly.
Six slid out her tongue. He placed the watermelon on it and said, "Eat." She took it in, chewed and swallowed, all while he watched. As he did, something inside her melted, and Six slipped into a sub-daze, realizing even more now than with her experience with Arius how glorious it was to perform, to do as told, and let her dom watch.
They were barely 5 minutes in. He was simply viewing her while she swallowed some fruit, and she was so focused on him, focused on giving him what he asked for. She didn't hear the long sheets of water falling from the stone feature into his pool. She didn't feel the heat already on the morning, or the cushion under her hip. She felt his calf, knee, and thigh at her back. She saw his face. She even could convince herself she heard his breathing. He reached and brought back another piece of fruit, half a juicy strawberry this time, and rubbed it along her lips. She waited for permission. He watched the fruit trace her flesh like he could do it for days. And it felt like days. It felt like an eternity.
"Did you call Arius, Master?" In her state, his question surprised her, and her gaze, that was resting in a sub-daze, sharpened to focus on him.
"No,"
she answered, his head cocked to the side.
"No."
She shook her head.
"Did he punish you for that?"
he queried. She fought a squirm and nodded. Stellan appeared to take that in, and he did so, not liking it.
"Tongue,"
he commanded. She gave him her tongue and took the fruit when he laid it there. She brought it into her mouth, started chewing, and he slightly shook his head.
"Did I tell you to eat?"
Six stopped chewing.
"You'll have to finish now," he said.
She finished chewing and swallowed.
"Sorry,"
she muttered. He reached for another piece of fruit and came back with a cube of cantaloupe. Rubbing it on her lip, he asked,
"Do you know what bothers me?"
Oh, God. Something bothered him. Now they were not even 6 minutes into their first scene, and something was bothering him.
But of course it would. Practically the first thing he'd asked, she hadn't given.
She almost spoke, but he did it before her.
"That you gave what was mine to Arius."
It came out before she could stop it. "Stellan." He pressed the melon between her lips, placing it on her tongue. She held it in her mouth and stared up at him, seeing now there was a tightness around his mouth, a hardness in his eyes. Lord, it did bother him.
"It's irrational, I know,"
he went on.
"I also don't care. The very thought of Arius commanding you, if I don't stop myself thinking on it, it could grow to rage."
He cupped her jaw with his hand and ordered, "Eat." She chewed and swallowed.
"But you knew,"
he continued. She sat between his legs and looked up in his eyes and, as commanded, said nothing.
"You knew,"
he stated.
"From the moment I laid eyes on you, you knew you were mine. And you gave yourself to him."
She opened her mouth to say something, leaning into him, but his thumb came again, this time pressing against the front of her teeth.
"Don't speak, Simone,"
he growled. All right. She had Stellan the Tyrant, the dom who expected his subs to obey. He called them slaves for a reason. When he was with them, he owned them. And he was with her now, and he owned her. But then again, he'd always owned her. Always. He was right. It started the first second she laid eyes on him. It took effort, but she managed not to bite the lip he was pressing against. Shift her legs, because what was happening between them screamed for her to move, writhe, rub her thighs together, or plunge her hand between them and rub hard.
The first time I touched you as your master, you climaxed for me, he declared.
She did. God.
So I met you while you were in training, before you subbed, and even then, you were mine. You've been mine for years, but you gave yourself to him, and now I finally have you, and you won't give me what's mine.
She stared up into his eyes, holding herself perfectly still. Abruptly, his thumb went away, his whole hand did, and he reached back to the fruit. He returned with a blackberry dipped in yogurt. He spread the yogurt across her lower lip and murmured,
"Well, at least you didn't give that to him."
She couldn't stop her teeth from coming out and scoring her lip anxiously. He watched, and when she was done, he pressed the fruit into her mouth.
"Eat that, and when you've swallowed, lick your lips clean," he commanded.
Holding his gaze, she did as told. He watched. It was agony, and it was awesome.
"Up on your knees, Simone," he said.
She got up on her knees between his legs.
"Put your hands on my knees."
She did that too.
"I'm going to feed you. As I'm doing that, you may speak freely, but you take what I put in your mouth, chew it and swallow it, while you make your explanations to me."
Thank God. She was going to get to explain. He dipped a strawberry half into the yogurt, pressed it between her lips. She chewed and was about to swallow, then speak, when he asked,
"Now, explain how you're going to apologize to me for what you did at the pit."
She blinked.
"What she did at the pit? At the time, I warned you that you'd need to offer your apology."
He carried on, reaching for another blackberry, dipping it in yogurt and feeding it to her.
"When you looked at that gladiator with invitation, even while sitting by your master."
Oh, man. Another piece of fruit, melon this time, slathered in yogurt, went into her mouth.
"Your apology?"
he prompted when she was chewing.
Honestly, she hadn't even thought about it. It seemed years ago, and so much had happened since. It entirely slipped her mind.
"I see," he murmured. And he knew it had. Damn. She swallowed and started. "Stellan." Suddenly he gripped her at the back of her neck, pulled her up to him even as he dipped his face to hers.
"Master," he hissed.
She said nothing.
"Say it," he insisted.
"I can't," she whispered.
"You will,"
he warned. Then let her go and reached back to the table. Not for fruit this time. Toward the bath towel. He flipped it open and Six nearly groaned. There was a Lilo INA wave there. A large, bulbous G-spot massager with a clit stimulator. Just that. No lube. Thank God she was as wet as she was because the internal part was not small. Stellan took it up, but when he stopped, her gaze went from the vibrator to him.
"You'll be having your breakfast, Simone," he said, "and you won't be coming for some time. I have a number of plans for you today, and it would be a shame if you didn't enjoy them to their fullest." Six had a feeling enjoy was a relative term in this context, but she said nothing, only nodded.
"Yes?"
he pushed.
"Yes," she whispered.
Something flashed in his eyes. It looked like annoyance, or maybe it was excitement.
"Be still," he said.
She nodded again. He wrapped one hand around the side of her neck, leaning deeply into her. She felt the toy nudge the lace between her legs aside, and she held his gaze, peering deeply into his heated eyes. Hers, she suspected, were far more heated, as he slowly slid the vibrator inside her. He positioned it perfectly, internally as well as against her clit, and she couldn't bite back the little mew that she emitted when he turned it on. God, that was nice. In her state, too nice. Damn. She couldn't bite that mew back, but she was proud it was just that. With the electric shock, the toy sent surging through her body. Her fingers tightened on his knees, and sweet, hot satisfaction saturated his eyes. Right. She liked him, content and peaceful, watching her walk to him sitting by his pool. But that look just hit second best to the look right there that was all she could see. He was getting off on this. Not a surprise, that was part of the point, but him not hiding it from her was. He was remote with his slaves, almost removed in some scenes, just like her, but his was stern, assertive. The tenderness and affection only came when he needed to use it to get what he was after. But he was giving it to her right there, nothing hidden. He loved her on her knees before him. And that just made it worse because it made it, oh, so much better. Stay still for me, Simone, he said, sitting back. And she almost went with him. She so didn't want to lose that look. She didn't want it distant from her either. You can chew and swallow what I give you, but remain motionless except for your mouth. She did as told, already feeling the fronts of her thighs start quivering, her fingers digging into the muscle around his knees as a response to his command. What was happening between her legs? Say yes, master, he urged gently. Yes. He waited. She couldn't finish. He smiled a sweet, hot, wicked, magnetic smile that sent another pulse through her, as if he'd turned up the vibrator working inside her when he had not. Then he reached to the table to dip a blackberry in yogurt and feed it to her. He fed her and himself as she knelt between his legs, gazing at his face, gripping his knees, chewing and swallowing, and fighting the ripples of pleasure swelling from cunt to nipples to scalp to knees, all the way down her shins straight to her toes. She was trembling and finding it difficult to concentrate on chewing and swallowing when she thought he was going to take pity on her as he murmured, enough breakfast, darling. She drew in a breath and released it, but sucked in another one when he kept speaking. Now for your punishment for what you did at the pit. Damn. She thought that had been her punishment. Okay, she wanted to give him everything. She wanted to be everything for him. And she'd fallen at the first hurdle. And now she might fail at this. But she couldn't. She just couldn't. That said, she had a feeling it was going to take all she had. My waistband, Simone, he said. Bring it down. Expose me. All of me. Oh, yes. It was going to take all she had. The moan surged up and out before she could catch it. And things didn't get better when she looked down at his lap, seeing him hard and straining against the knit fabric of his lounge pants. Yes, hell yes, he was getting off on this. The pants were dark gray, the waistband black and elastic. If pulled down to expose his cock and cup his balls, it would undo her. He had a beautiful dick. Unsurprisingly, it was just like the rest of him. Thick, long, and exquisitely formed. Giving him head was a religious experience. Doing it close to climax with a G-spot vibrator and clit stimulator working inside her might kill her. You'll learn, he said softly, that I don't like repeating myself. Now, my waistband, Simone. She lifted her eyes to his, then forced her hands to move. Curling her fingers into the waistband of his pants at the sides, she pulled them a couple of inches down before she ran her fingers along the front, tugging the elastic over his cock. It bounded free, and at the sight of it, she had to suck the insides of her mouth between her molars and bite hard to beat back everything that exposing his beauty made her feel. It didn't get better when she worked the waistband under his balls, the elastic cradling them against the root of his shaft. She could sketch that. She'd give it an entire page. Then she'd do something she never did. Rip it out and frame it so she could look at it whenever she pleased. He was that gorgeous. "Glistening, Simone," he whispered. "Every inch. Once you have me as I wish, hold my cock in your mouth and do not move." It was close to the order she'd given Jennifer at his pool party, and having her own command turned on her, turned her on. Or, considering her current state, turned her on a whole lot more. Willing herself to withstand this for him, Six rested her hands on his thighs and bent in, tongue out, and did as she was commanded. She licked him to wet every inch. The taste of him, the musk of him, the feel of his steel under the soft skin of his cock, the vulnerability of his sack. Just the fact he was formed perfectly, it was torture. And the pads of her fingers were convulsively contracting and releasing in his flesh, as the world narrowed to his dick and balls and her cunt and clit. His voice had grown thick when he ordered, "Now slide me inside. Take me as deep as you can, and hold." Okay, yes. This might kill her. She slid him inside and held. Having that beautiful cock held deep in her mouth was a fabulous agony. God, she was going to come. Just holding him in her mouth, she was going to come. She felt her entire body tremble. Fuck, she was going to come. She gripped his thighs so hard she fancied she could feel each sinew of his muscles under her fingertips, and that didn't help a thing. She was going to explode. She was going to let him down. She was going to come apart. She felt him trail a finger from the layered hair at the nape of her neck down that helpless line to the knot at the top of her spine. And at his touch, she entered the zone. Her mind cleared. She was his. She was owned. She was slave to Stellan. She was serving and she'd done wrong. So she was being punished. She felt the ache and pulse between her legs, the throb at her clit, and they were elegant in the pain they caused of her need to release. Every inch, every centimeter of his cock she held in her mouth was a gift. Serving him was her purpose. It was what she was born to do. And she was not allowed to come. So she would not, until he told her to. Her fingers stopped convulsing and just gripped him tight, as she held strong and did as Stellan bid her to do. "That's it, darling," he murmured tenderly. Having felt it, felt her give over, felt her settle into service, that good of a dom, that attuned to Six, he didn't miss it for a moment. Drifting his finger back up and caressing the nape of her neck, he continued, "Now suck." She sucked, madly, wildly, like working his cock was her only reason for being. His finger left her nape, so all of them could sift into her hair. They tightened and pulled, and she knew to bob. "Yes," he growled, and she felt his body tauten all around her. She blew him, sucking hard, slipping him in and out fast, digging her nails into the flesh of his thighs. He pulled her off of him using her hair and in a rough voice commanded, "Up."
She surged to her feet. He instantly slid the vibrator out from inside her, tossed it on the towel, then grasped her behind her thighs, hauling her toward him. She moved into the seat, her knees at his sides, her head tipped down, looking him in his eyes as his body slid lower in the chair. He used his hands to position her. She felt the thick, slick head of his cock shifting the lace aside. He jerked her down on him, filling her, and her head shot back.
Glory. Hallelujah.
Watch your master as you serve him, he growled. She immediately bent her head forward and his open palm landed on her ass.
Fucking fabulous.
Move, he demanded. She moved. Fast, Simone. Grip me, milk your master, he ordered throatily. She went faster, constricting around him, watching his dark face get darker, satisfaction and domination filling his features, making them so handsome she could have wept at the honor of witnessing the sight, as he wrapped his fingers around her buttocks, digging in, using her flesh to pull her down, up, down, crashing her into him. She started panting. Open the lace. Expose your breasts to me, he grunted. She moved her hands instantly to do as told. Hold them on offer to me. She did that too, rounding them at the bottoms, holding her breasts in her hands, still driving down on his dick. A magnificent sneer hit his face that pounded between her legs as sure as his cock was doing. Who are you? She didn't even think. Six was gone. Six had never even existed. It was all her now. Simone. Simone Marchesa. The woman who belonged to Stellan Lang.
I'm Simone,
she breathed. Who owns you?
You do,
she gasped. Rub your thumbs over your nipples. She did and moaned, having to fight tipping her head back at the same time holding on to her orgasm, determined not to let go, saving herself for him. Serving herself to him. Who's your master? He asked. She stared into his eyes.
You are, baby. Say it,
he whispered.
God.
His fingers dug into her ass. Say it, Simone, he pushed. She moved faster on him, arcing her back but keeping her head tilted so she held his eyes. But she didn't say it. You'll give that to me, he told her. She kept riding him. His hands left her ass, moved up her back, clenched in her hair, and he dragged her head to his. Their foreheads colliding, she watched from close as his eyes flashed, then closed as a heavy breath escaped his lips, fanning over hers, and she felt his body tense and strain under her.
Hold,
he grunted. She stopped, full of him, as he climaxed under her.
She did it.
She made it. She gave him what he wanted. She felt like shouting her triumph, and the need to orgasm had never been so huge. But she held on, squeezed his cock with the walls of her pussy, and took in his soft sigh as she did. Slowly, his grip on her hair loosened. His eyes opened and looked into hers. They were languid,
beautiful.
His breath was evening. She was still panting. You've done well, darling, he murmured.
Thank God. I'm glad, baby,
she whispered. Clean you up, eat you out, then when you're ready, set about giving you your reward.
Oh, hell.
He was talented at giving head, and she knew being ready was not getting a reward after getting an orgasm. Go upstairs. Wash me from you, he ordered. When I join you, I want you on our bed, on your knees, with them spread wide,
facing the headboard. I want you riding my face.
Shit. Just the visual that brought to mind took her right back to quivering.
Okay, Stellan, she muttered. His hand slid down to her neck, and one over the other, squeezed.
You'll give it to me,
he told her quietly. She knew what he meant, declaring him her master. And she wanted to, but she wasn't sure she could do it.
When you believe,
he whispered.
That was just it. She'd never believe.
She swallowed. He didn't push it further.
Slide me out, darling, and go do as I say.
She nodded. She slid him out, moved off of him, and on unsteady legs, the ache between hers, the heaviness in her breasts, the intense sensation at her nipples, the sensitivity of her skin had been downshifted significantly, but they were nowhere near gone. She started to move around his chair but stopped when he hooked her with an arm along her belly. She looked down at him.
I took you there. I took you there with just a touch. And you know what that means,
he said gently. Six stared at him, beginning to tremble for a different reason.
Untested subs, Simone? They do not find it easy to go there,
he continued.
He was right. Submissives new to the scene required a lot more time and work to guide them into the headspace where they could give over control, slip into the zone, find themselves languishing in the agony and ecstasy of being at the mercy of someone else's will. Not content, but wholly rapturous, they were used to serve their dominant. Their first full scene. And she'd found herself right there, except calling him master, something he was. He knew it, she knew it. It was just something she could not say. He'd guided her, right there. Because that was her, as it was him. From the moment they'd met, there was no other way it could be.
Stellan, she whispered.
How much more proof do you need that you're mine, Simone?
He asked.
She didn't have an answer to that. Undeniably mine.
He stated the answer she refused to say. Then he went in for the kill.
Forever, sweetheart.
Forever. She knew she was. She was his. Forever. The thing was, that was true, absolutely, without a single doubt, true.
But it didn't mean what he thought it meant. And she was going to give him what she could.
Then, she was going to have to do something about it. 12. Sealed. 6. Six lay on her belly between Stellan's cocked legs, holding his balls in her mouth, resting the side of her head in the juncture of hip and thigh. Recovering. He'd eaten her, and eaten her, and eaten her. Not unrelenting, he slowed to give her time to pull herself together, but he kept her riding his face for what it felt like hours. She was surprised the sun was still shining through the windows, for she had withstood the work of his mouth so long, she felt the sun surely had gone down and the moon should be filling the sky. Stellan's fingers were stroking gently along the line of her hair at her neck as she stared up close at his distended cock, memorizing every line, ridge, vein, and swell, thinking in her current state what she thought not in her current state.
Seriously. His cock could have been sculpted by an artist. Lift your eyes to me, Simone.
She knew he meant her to keep him in her mouth as previously instructed. So she did that and tilted only enough to look up the textured sections of his abs, over the bulging crests of his pecs, past the corded column of his throat, to his adoring, languorous, dark blue eyes. It was then, in the zone, his to do with as he willed. She shot right back into herself. Mira looked at Trey like that when she worked him, and Lee looked at Ollie like that. Now, she had that. She had that. From Stellan. God.
Do you understand now the difference between when you're simply mine and when you're mine in play?
He asked.
Man, did she ever. She blinked once.
His lips curved up in a way she felt buzz in her clit.
You've earned your reward now, darling, he murmured. Release me, cover me, and come up to straddle me.
Her body a mass of electrified nerve endings that she'd grown accustomed to, but were nevertheless an enduring, splendid misery. She slid his balls out of her mouth, shifted up, adjusted the waistband of his pants so it covered his privates. Then she moved up to straddle him, even as he kept his legs cocked, not making it easy. When she got in position, she discovered a new, beautiful misery, feeling him hard against her wet, needy core, and knowing she could do nothing about it. Stellan slid his hands across her waist to the small of her back and up the sides of her spine, her skin so sensitized if she let go even an inch of his touch could drive her to climax. But she held strong. She had no clue how she did. But she did. For him. He pulled her down to him as his hands moved until she was resting chest to chest on him, her fingers curled over his shoulders.
Our first time as master and his pretty, stubborn slave. I've something special planned, he told her.
She was in little doubt that something special would not be something special. It would be something spectacular. The question was, would she survive it?
Are you ready?
He asked.
Yes, she whispered.
That one word came out shaky because she said it. She wanted to mean it. She just wasn't sure she actually did. One of his hands slid back down between her legs, under the lace, through the wet, to rest at her clit. Her body jolted, and she had to seize her lower lip between her teeth and bite down, the pain helping her hold her control. Stellan's wicked smile came back.
I thought I cleaned all that wet away, he remarked.
She hummed, incapable of further, considering her entire focus was on her clit and what he might do with it, considering he told her that her reward was imminent.
So I can assume you enjoy spending time with my balls in your mouth?
He queried.
Yes, she pushed out.
More like God, yes. Holding him like that, serving him like that, his cock that close for her to see. Bliss. Aching bliss, but bliss all the same.
His eyebrows arched.
Yes.
It was a prompt.
Yes,
she whispered miserably, not giving him what he wanted. She had to give it to him. She had to give it to him. Before she said about losing him. But damn it, she couldn't give it to him. He bent to her and touched his mouth to hers, and Six breathed that touch in like oxygen, because he hadn't kissed her at all, light or hard, not the entire day. And then he shattered her world, demonstrating how deeply he understood her, and giving her something more she wanted badly, but really could not have.
You wouldn't be you if there wasn't a little Six somewhere in there, being stubborn, holding back, he said gently. The mistress coming out. My mistress, submitting to me at the same time making me work and slave to earn something.
Her body stiffened from all he'd said. However, his mistress?
It would be boring if it was no challenge at all.